in the 21st lesson here in the book of 1 Samuel. I want to ask you to take your Bibles and to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 13. In the last lesson, we covered verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. But if you remember, I left you with a cliffhanger at the end of the lesson, because we've got to this point where the scholars who believe and the people who believe that Saul was 30 years old when he became the king of Israel, there is a mathematical problem that has just been revealed. So we must address this important issue that has to do with the age of Saul at the time he became king. We have just exposed the fault in the mistranslation of chapter 13, verse 1, which you will remember because we've covered it several times, is rendered in many English Bibles to say, Saul was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 42 years over Israel. Now, a better translation would have been, as I've told you, a literal translation of the Hebrew is, 1 year Saul reigned, and when 2 years he had reigned over Israel, leading to the fact that another story is coming. Our story in this passage states that after being confirmed as king, after the battle with the Jabesh-Gileads, Saul kept 3,000 men. 2,000 were with him at Michmash, just outside of Bethel, and 1,000 were with his son Jonathan, over in Gibeah. Now we also were told, get this, important point, we are told that Jonathan led the charge to defeat the Philistines at the garrison of Geba. We would have a mathematical problem with this information if we hold to what is said and told to us in chapter 13, verse 1. We've got a mathematical problem when it states that Saul was 30 years old when he began to reign. If Saul became king when he was 30 years old, then when he was in his second year, he was about 32 years old in his second year as king. Maybe still 31, but turning into 32. Saul would have been about 32 years of age at the defeat of the Philistines at the garrison of Geba, led by, guess who? Not Saul, but Jonathan. Where is the problem, you say? I want to address the problem now. Now, up on the board, I've added some information from the last lesson. You remember that this line of 40 marks here is 1 through 40 represent the years that Saul was king over Israel. So I've taken the first two and I've dropped them down here and enlarged them so you can see them. And I brought some information down with them. King Saul's first 2 years. Here's year 1. Chapters 8 through 12 cover year 1. Chapter 13 picks up with the second year. That's the way I understand it and read it. And so I'll also tell you this, that chapter 13 through 14, we're not through 14 yet, we're still at the beginning of 13. Chapter through 14 cover what is going to happen in the second year. So my question mark is, what is Jonathan's age? So let's looky here, and let's just set up a scenario here. Okay, if Saul was 30 years old when he became king, and Jonathan was 20 years old when he led the fight against the garrison of Geba, that meant that Saul had Jonathan when Saul was 10 years of age. Now, I'm not sure you can see it written up there, but I'll get a marker and I'll highlight it again. Let's say Saul was 32 years of age. Let's say he was 32 years of age. That would mean Jonathan at least 20 years of age. He could have been older than 20, but it was at least 20 years of age. If he was 20 years of age, that meant Saul had Jonathan when he was 12 years of age. Nuh-uh, no bueno. Saul is not married at the age of 12 and has age of 11 to have a child at the age of 12, nor was he married at the age of 9 to have a son at the age of 10. You see, we've got a mathematical problem here. So you say, okay, what is going on here? Let me tell you why I'm saying that Jonathan has to be 20 years of age. Because here it is, from the days of Moses, there is the long-standing tradition, and the direct instruction concerning men who were old enough to fight in a battle began at the age of 20. Right there. He has to be 20. Near the beginning of the Exodus, a census was taken by Moses of all the men who could make up the army of Israel. Moses recorded the instruction, and it's the Lord's instruction. It is not Moses' words. It's the Lord's words, and they are as follows. Then the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tent of meeting, on the first of the second month, in the second year after he had come out of the land of Egypt, saying, take a census of all the congregation of the sons of Israel, by their families, by their fathers' households, according to the number of names, every male, head by head, from 20 years old and upward, whoever is able to go out to war in Israel, you and Aaron shall number them by their armies. Okay, that's the first census, saying whoever is able to go out to war, they have to be 20 years of old and up. Now, there's two reasons why they don't get to go to war, okay? One is that they are infirm, they're sick, they're lame, they can't fight. They're not to be a warrior, so they were not to be counted, all right? Number two is, if they were married for the first year, every Israelite man did not have to serve in the army the year he gets married so that he can bring happiness to his wife in the first year of their marriage, okay? So that's just a part of that. So at the end of the book of Numbers, remember, we're 38 years down the road. We're at the end of the 40-year wilderness journey for Israel. A second census was taken to number the men who could be part of the army of Israel. And again, we see the Lord's instruction to Moses. And this is what the Lord said through Moses to the people. Then it came about after the plague that the Lord spoke to Moses and to Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, saying, take a census of all the congregation of the sons of Israel from 20 years and upward by their fathers' households, whoever is able to go out to war in Israel. So Moses and Eleazar the priest spoke with them in the plains of Moab by the Jordan at Jericho, saying, take a census of the people 20 years old and upward, as the Lord has commanded Moses. So we must not forget that all the instruction that the nation of Israel needed from the Lord when it entered the promised land and for the rest of all time, even till today, was given to Israel through Moses during the 40-year wilderness journey that is found in the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's all they needed to make him their king. They didn't need a king, but make him, the Lord, their king, and live perfectly in peace for the rest of all eternity. Although the Lord tells us you're not going to do it, you're not going to keep my word, you're not going to be faithful to me, so here's what else is going to happen because you're not going to be faithful to me, but that's another story for another time. Everything was covered by the Lord for all civil, for all religious, and for all military life. Young men were not part of the army of Israel until they were at least 20 years of age. The only reason a man 20 years and older was not able to be in the army was if he was newly married. And that is, in that case, the Lord said, gave an instruction, and he said in Deuteronomy 24, verse 5, I've already told you about this, but let's read the scripture now. When a man takes a new wife, he shall not go out with the army nor be charged with any duty. He shall be free at home 1 year and shall give happiness to his wife whom he has taken. The other reason is that they're infirm. They cannot handle a sword. They are sickly. They cannot go out. They cannot be in the war. All right. So it seems from our passage that Jonathan was in charge of 1,000 warriors with him at the time of the defeat of the Philistines in the garrison at Geba. If that is the case, the culture of the civil, of the religious, and the military rules of life in the nation of Israel, Jonathan had to be at least got it, his minimum age was 20 years of age in order to serve in Saul's army. His prestige, by the way, let me just back up on that a minute before I go on. and to say what I was going to say, say this. If Jonathan was 20 years of age and Saul did not let him go to battle, it would be a shame on Saul and it would not look good upon Saul. If Jonathan was older than 20 years of age and he was not in battle, it would look bad on Saul, who did not let his son go be with the men in the war. If he was younger than 20 years of age, it would have looked bad on Saul if he forced him into being in the army and in the leadership. Okay? Now here's the deal. His prestige as the son of Saul might have put him in charge of the men that were with him if he was underage, and that would be understandable because he's the son of the king. But his age also has to be considered. Now the math. The math is just speculation based on chapter 13, verse 1. If Saul became the king at age 30, in his second year he was about the age of 32, when Jonathan had to be at least 20 at that time, that meant that Saul became the father of Jonathan when Saul was 10 years old or to 12 years old, somewhere, would have been 10 to 12 years old whenever Saul had Jonathan. Impossible. No, it's not impossible. Probable? No, it's not probable. If you add at least 6 years to Saul's age, okay? If you make Saul 36 and add those years to his age, then he could have been he could have had a son who was who would be between the ages of 18 and 20. Now in that case, when Jonathan was 20 years of age, maybe as early as 18, because him being the son of a king, maybe the men may have followed him, but being 20 years of age, Saul could have been about 38 years old. If that's about how old Saul might have been, about 38 years old, Jonathan could have probably led, but the men may not have wanted to follow him because he was not 20 years of age. And I dare to say, what we can draw from this discovery is first this. We have no idea. We absolutely have no idea how old Saul was when he became king. Any fast and hard date would simply be speculation. Second, Saul was already married and had children when he became king. That statement seems to be a fact. We'll cover that again when we get to the end of verse number 47 in chapter 14. We've already heard about him having children already. We've already talked about that. So that statement seems to be a fact that he already had children because he'd got Jonathan. Third, if Jonathan was 20 years of age at the time of the defeat of the Philistines at the garrison in Geba, that means that Jonathan was at least, get this, he was at least 28 years, maybe 30 years older than David, because when David was born, in the 10th year. David is born right here in the 10th year of Saul's reign as king. How do we know that? We know that because we know that David became king when he was 30. So take 30 years off of 40, and right here is where David is going to be born. That means that Jonathan is between... you add 10 years to his age right here, he's between 28 to 30 years older than David. Fifth, 38 years after the defeat of the Philistines, Jonathan would be at least 58 years old when he died with his father at the Battle of Gilboa right there. Jonathan will be at least 58 years old. Jonathan is going to have a son, his name is Mephibosheth, who is going to be 5 years old, meaning that Jonathan was 53 years old when Mephibosheth was born. It also means that Saul was more or less in his 80s when he died with Jonathan right here at the Battle of Gilboa. Alas, all of this is just speculation as to the plain and simple math. Without the true agents of Saul and Jonathan, we are left clearly in the dark and cannot make any hard and fast conclusions. One thing we do know is that Saul had one surviving son by the name of Ishbosheth, who became the king of 11 of the tribes of Israel. Right there upon the death of Saul, Ishbosheth became the king for 2 years when David was only the king of Judah for 2 years. All right. He was the king over these 11 tribes 2 years. And at the time of Saul's death, Ishbosheth, according to the scripture in 2 Samuel verse 28, verse 10, verses 8 through 10, at the time he became king, Ishbosheth was 40 years old. Ta-da! Saul reigned for 40 years. His son's going to take over and is going to be 40 years of age, which means Ishbosheth was born in the first year of King Saul's reign when King Saul was whatever age he was. All right. May we make a few last points to expose this erroneous error concerning Saul's age and his length of reign. Some in the Jewish tradition hold to the position that Saul became king when he was 40 years of age, and he died at the end of his second year as king at the age of 42. Now, you know where they get that from 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 1, that he was 30 years of old when he became king, and he reigned 42 years. So some people believe this is all the time that Saul reigned as king, just these 2 years. We got a whole bunch more story left over. So if that were the case, get this. His son, Mephibosheth, who was conceived when Saul was just two, his son Mephibosheth would have had to be conceived when he was just 42 years. Remember, Ishbosheth becomes king when Saul dies and Ishbosheth is 40 years of age. Well, if Saul only reigned 2 years and Ishbosheth is 40, that means that Ishbosheth was born when Saul was 40, was only 2 years old. Well, is that possible? No, it's not. Is it impossible? Yes, it's impossible. Now, there's another arm of Jewish tradition that holds that Saul became king at the age of 30 and he reigned for only 20 years. This point also has a problem. In that case, Saul died at the age of 50 with a 40-year-old son who was not even his oldest son, okay? So there's a problem there. Is it impossible? Yes, absolutely, it's impossible. Ishbosheth was 40. If Ishbosheth was 40 and Saul died when he was 50, as some of the Jewish material says he was, they haven't thought that out. They haven't written it correctly. That means that Saul was 10 years old when Ishbosheth was born. Impossible, yes. Now a third Jewish tradition holds that Saul was 40 years old and he reigned for 20 years. Now, that position means that Saul was 60 years old when he died and Ishbosheth was 40 years old. Now, is that impossible? No. Is it probable? It could be. And if you want to see more about that, I'm going to put here on the screen for you the Jewish Encyclopedia link to go read about these three different positions in the Jewish Encyclopedia online, okay? So you can look at this on the screen. I'll keep it up here on the screen for just a little bit so that you can write it down and see. It's just jewishencyclopedia.com/articles/13224-Saul. That's all you need to put in, and that will this article will come up that tells about these three different positions. So my position is this. Saul was at least more than 38 years old when he became king. He may have been 40. He may have been even a little older than 40. We don't know when he became king. And we do not know how old Jonathan actually was, but he was at least 20 years old at the end of the second year of Saul's reign as king. All right, so as we move on, the writer now gives another example which seems to be to tell us something for a different reason. It was to expose the trouble Saul was having with his troops abandoning him as the king. And so we pick up here. In this following example, it seems the writer is establishing this trouble that Saul will soon face with the coming of the Philistines. The writer tells us the story of the gathering of the people with Saul, verse 5. The gathering of the people with Saul, chapter 13, verse number 5. The people were then summoned to Saul at Gilgal. Now the Philistines assembled to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people like the sand which is on the seashore in abundance. And they came up, and they camped at Michmash, east of Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, then the people hid themselves in caves, in thickets, in cliffs, in cellars, and in pits. Also, some of the Hebrews crossed the Jordan into the land of Gad and Gilead. But as for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. Now, if the writer has put these last two stories in chronological order, then the writer must be indicating that Jonathan's defeat of the Philistines at Geba kindled the attention and the wrath of the Philistines, who returned to the tribal area of Benjamin in mass numbers. If the first of these two stories was Saul, after his victory over the Jebus Gileads, had gathered his forces at Michmash and sent everyone home except 3,000 men, 2,000 stayed with Saul, 1,000 with Jonathan at Gibeah, Jonathan influenced the men to attack the Philistine garrison like he did. They won. And in response, the Philistines came back in mass to the last area Saul had camped, and that was Michmash. Now remember, Saul is over in Gilgal. So in this story, Saul has moved from Michmash over to Gilgal. So the Philistines came to Michmash. At Gilgal, Saul's army heard of the mass army, this huge, massive army of Philistines that are gathered at their last campsite. And there at Gilgal, the news of the Philistines' army struck fear in Saul's army, and they began to run and hide. And with this setup in the story, the Philistines were established in the Promised Land, and they had been established in the Promised Land for a long time, and they would be a constant thorn in the side of Saul, and get this, until the ark was captured and then returned from being captured. Guess what? 25 years later. It's starting right here during the second year. This is what's going on during this second year. And it's going to be 25 years until what Samuel told us about the capture of the ark and it's being put in storage. And then Gad came back and restarted to tell us the story of Samuel and the selection of a king and all of that, as we've talked about. Okay, so in other words, this passage ends by saying, "But as for Saul, he was still in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling." In other words, when the soldiers ran to hide from the Philistines, Saul did not run. he remained at Gilgal. And when the verse says, and all the people followed him trembling, it means that Saul was the established king of Israel, and the faithful people to Saul stayed with him, and the unfaithful people to Saul scattered, and they were trembling, and they were all afraid of the Philistines. Now we come to the story of the failure of Saul to obey. You catch that? We come to the story of the failure of Saul to obey. We come to the point where Saul waited for Samuel and then proceeded without Samuel in verse 8. Now he waited 7 days according to the appointed time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from him. Verse number 8. Every notable commentary connects this sentence to Samuel's instruction to Saul on the day when Saul was consecrated as king outside of Samuel's house, found back in 1 Samuel verse 10, chapter 10, verse 8. It was the fourth instruction given by Samuel to Saul. And if you remember, this is what Samuel said to him back in chapter 10, verse 8. And you shall go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and sacrifice of peace offerings. You shall wait 7 days until I come to you and show you what you should do.